'Tis the season for festive football, and the best way to watch it, down your local Green King Sports Pub. Of course, Christmas is all about having a drink, having a catch up with your friends and family. So make sure you get down to a Green King Sport Pub where you can have refreshing pints, delicious food, and of course, every football game that's showed live on telly.
Every fixture from TNT, Sky and Amazon is live at every Green King Sport venue. That means wall-to-wall action on their huge HD screens. Head to your local Green King pub and watch every winning goal, top bins volley or dodgy VAR decision in an atmosphere worth sharing.
And the best thing about it all is, if you download the Green King Sports app, you'll receive 10% off your drinks every time the sport on the telly. Hello and welcome back to the Talking Wolf podcast. I am your host, Matt Cooper, and today I am joined alongside, firstly, Dave Azzopardi. Dave, how's things, mate? How's your Christmas been? And it's an unfamiliar setting.
Yeah, I'm at a lodge at the minute. It was all right. It was a pretty quiet one for me, to be fair. Didn't drink any alcohol, so not been on it. But yeah, it's all right. I'm just having a bit of chill out time now. Lots going on with the Wolves, thankfully, and good things for a change. Nice for us, obviously, to talk about two wins. But yeah, keeping all right, mate. Keeping all right.
Do you not go out Christmas Eve?
Oh, no, yeah. Oh, yeah, I got smashed up Christmas Eve, to be fair. But then, I mean, like Christmas Day, I had a glass of Bucks Fizz, and I genuinely drank water the rest of the day. And that wasn't because I was hungover or anything. I just wasn't in the mood for it. But I've smashed the gym, to be fair, the last week or so.
Gin or Jim? Who's he?
Yeah, really. I don't think I've ever drank gin. No, I've never even tasted gin.
Oh, it's crap. Not for me, no.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Yeah. So. Yeah, big up, Jim.
Big up, Jim. It's good that you're going to the gym, though, mate. Making positive changes.
Yeah, I've been going last month or so. I could see little changes straight away, but I think that's mainly I was drinking a lot of water. I could see a lot of body starting to tone up a little bit as well. So, I love your life. Just well, about.
Jesus Christ. What's good his start. Magic diet? Then magic workout.
No, I did a leg day yesterday. My legs are finito.
Horrible, aren't they, leg days? Horrible. We're also joined alongside Mr. Jordan Russell. Jord, feeling a little bit under the weather, right, you mate? But how was your Christmas?
Yeah, I'm battling through. Yeah, got a chest infection. Been reassigned an inhaler as well, which is, yeah, Matt has been playing up as well. So not been too well the last week or so, but, you know, good Christmas. Nice festivities to spend it with your loved ones and stuff, and yeah, Wolves back-to-back wins as well is always much more sweeter as well. So it's yeah, it's been really good, mate. Thanks.
You know what this period is begrudgingly reminding me of. Remember when Bruno Lage went unbeaten in Jan, and then everything fell apart after that. That's what I can keep thinking about. Like we're going to win the next two, and then not win for like 15.
I think the expectations are slightly different to that, though, because I remember even under Bruno,
we were top four for a little while, weren't we?
Yeah, we're knocking on the door all throughout up until then. Whereas to this season, the expectations really just been to stay out of trouble. But then all of a sudden, you know, if we win for, I think there'll be, I've already seen Europe shouts on the timeline. I reckon if we beat Everton, you know, what if we beat Everton and other results go our way, we could be like 4 or 5 points off top six, can't we? Or something, Dad.
Yeah, but this is what like amazes me. Like we only spoke on the last podcast about theoretically, would you take Lopetegui if your nil was to go? Like, and now we're talking about Europe. Like, I know we try and keep as level headed as possible, but if you check Twitter, it is like that, isn't it? A couple of games ago, it was get rid of him. Now it's bloody hell, we could get Europe here. Football fans are funny, aren't they?
Yeah. Up the Wolves.
You won't want it. Want it any other way. Yeah. We'll start with the Chelsea game on Christmas Eve. Obviously, caused quite a lot of controversy in terms of the game that was selected for the time as well. I did feel sorry for Chelsea fans and also Wolves fans, but mostly Chelsea fans, because it's a long way to go. The trains are useless at the minute. And obviously, they went home empty-handed. But I thought, Dave, it was a bit of a slow start from Wolves, and I think Chelsea may feel a little bit hard done by that. They didn't come away with 3 points, but it wasn't the best of starts.
I know when you were saying you felt sorry for them, I thought it's because they all had to wear those blue Santa hats.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
No one had to wear them.
They didn't come away empty-handed because they got one of them for free. You know, if Wolves gave something like that for free, you might wear it before the game, but you would take it off. I would take 90% of them wore it the whole game. I put it on Twitter. I walked in. I was like, it's like I was in the new Smurfs movie. That's what they look like. But yeah, I mean, it was a slow start. I think against teams like Chelsea, I think their squad or quality of player doesn't warrant where they are in the table. I think the Premier League is very, very strong at the moment. You see the likes of Villa and obviously Newcastle aren't great at the moment, but have strengthened their squad. So there's a lot strong. The squads are much stronger in the league. But Chelsea individually have got very good players. So it's always going to be a tricky test against them. But I always favoured us at Molineux because you know Chelsea are going to have a lot of the ball. It's just up to us to sort of play the way we want to play, the counter-attacking style. And obviously, across the 90 minutes, it worked in the end. But it was individual errors that really, on another day, would have punished Wolves. We got very, very lucky. I'm sure we'll talk about them. But we did ride our luck at times. And I think it was crucial to go in at the break goalless, so at least we're still in the game. I think if we went one down before half-time, it would have been a very difficult afternoon. But to go in the break goalless, shooting towards the South Bank second half, I think we had every chance.
Yeah, I thought Chelsea could have been high and dry jawed by the first half. If only Nicholas Jackson was a footballer and Raheem Sterling wasn't so selfish, man.
Yeah, I think Chelsea, like Dave said, there's a lot of quality in that squad.
They moved the ball really well, I thought, but it was just a final third.
They did. You can tell, though, that there are a lot of, and it's going to take time with Chelsea in terms of it's just got to click on it. It's very individual. And exactly what you've mentioned there as well, Sterling. If that was like a cohesive team, he just squares it to whoever's up with him and just puts in the back of there. But they're trying to, because there's so many changes in that team, it's almost like they're being selfish to try and make a statement to keep themselves in the team, if that makes sense. So I think there's a lot of selfishness within that Chelsea side. And yeah, like we were pretty slow in the first half and Chelsea could have been a couple up, but we sort of hung in there a little bit. I thought we defended relatively well. We just couldn't really get a grip of midfield. And I thought that Conor Gallagher was instrumental to that in the first half, especially. He seemed to be everywhere. And again, like I know people sort of turn their nose up at Conor Gallagher, but I think he's always been a good player. He's a good player. Like, good for Charlton on loan, good for the Albion as well, in a very poor side. And he's growing into it a little bit now. So, yeah, look, they had the most of the first half, but you just know, like with Chelsea, like they're going to give you chances, and they make so many individual basic errors that if you can keep yourself in the game, you're gonna get a chance or two, and that's exactly what we did. And I thought again, it was something that has been picked up on social media when Aitner went down with his injury in the first half, and it got O'Neill over to the touchline with his clipboard. And you can tell then we sort of started building and progressing into the game a little bit after that point. So, we made some tactical change in that first half, and I think we've reaped the benefits of it for the second.
Yeah, when Aitnori went down, didn't he, with a so-called injury, I think that's when O'Neill took the opportunity to make a couple of tactical tweaks. Let's talk about that Sterling chance, though, you pair. We had a bit of a discussion in the group chat around this. I don't think that... I think, did you two say that Saar shouldn't have given him the ball? And correct. I said, yeah, I don't think that it's that bad of a ball to give him. It's Joe Gomez's first. Okay, he's not square on. But his first touch kills him. I don't think Saar can give him the ball there, personally.
Yeah, but Saar's given him the ball and there's three Chelsea players around him and no Wolves players whatsoever. And I think you could see, I think Gary O'Neill's giving him a bollocking about that, because you saw against Brentford yesterday, if there was any sort of change, he just smashed it up the pitch. I felt his distribution against Brentford, which we'll talk about, was a lot better, but there were one or two instances at Chelsea where he's got to do slightly better. The chance which Totti cleared off the line in the second half, where is Jose Sarr? What is he doing? And it was similar to Dan Bentley a couple of weeks ago at West Ham. There was the time where he called for the ball and left it, and all the Wolves players left it. So I don't know, that one's poor. And I think João Gomez, they're both talking to each other about it. And thankfully we got away with that one. But I can see it from both sides. Jose saw his pass is, yes, it's to Joao Gomez. The first touch is poor, but I just think you have made it very, very difficult for him there. But that is the one thing that Gomez needs to improve on. That's the only time I'm going to take a little dig at him, is that I always think he dwells too much on the ball.
Yeah,
and that's the only thing he needs to improve. But other than that, I think he was unbelievable the last two games for Wolves anyway.
I thought he had quite a poor first half against Chelsea, but was excellent in the second half.
Yeah.
And against Brentford, I'd probably say he was the best player on the pitch. What was your thoughts on it, George? Because I know you said he shouldn't have been given the ball.
Yeah, I just think, just from experience of being in those scenarios playing football, like, you don't mind having the ball with, you don't mind receiving the ball square on if you've got a ball that you can just literally lay off to a centre half or be able to, like, whip it to a fullback to get out. But because Gomez was the only guy there, his back's to the play, face of play. So I was giving him that ball. What's Gomez? I just don't think Gomez can do anything once he's got that ball. I know, again, yeah, it was a bit of a heavy touch, but he just had no, other than go back to Saar, he had no other option to do with it. So, yeah, look, I think, you know, we've got away with it, and Saar more than made up for it. It was a really, really good save. You can say Sterling should have squared it. He should have squared it, but Saar still atoned for his error. And again, I thought that was a bit of a wake up call and a bit of a changing point of that game as well, because we seemed to play better after that incident as well. Saar and Gomez are both bollocked to each other a little bit, but then sometimes you need that, just, right, okay, fucking let's go now. And it did seem to give us a kick up the arse, to be fair.
Yeah, I think it can either go one way or the other, can't it? That when players start arguing, it's normally the beginning or the end, or it's a bit of a wake-up call and they get the reds together. But I thought that after that, and they'd made the slight change, it was all Wolves for like the last 5 or 6 minutes before the end of the first half. But my word, Mario Lemina. I know, Dave, you said he's your player of the season on the match reaction yesterday for me, by an absolute bus ride. I thought against Chelsea, he was the best player on the pitch, and he took his goal extremely well too. But also another assist for Pablo Sarabia. It's two in two games now, Dave. But talk to me about Mario Lemina and what a signing that's been from Wolves for the price.
Yeah, so good.
And Ruben who?
Yeah. No, that's why, obviously, if you saw the reaction, I mentioned that because we all love Ruben Neves, and I think he's an unbelievable player. And I think technically, probably still, he's better than Lemina. But I think the physicality that Lemina brings to that midfield now alongside João Gomez is something that we've not had enough of since we came back into the Premier League. And obviously we've had more successful seasons than where we are at the moment. But I think that's what we always lacked, even under Nuno. The amount of times we would be bossed off the pitch by teams like Huddersfield or Crystal Palace or even Watford because they had a more physical midfield than us. And now we're getting that blend of quality at the top end of the pitch and obviously in the midfield as well. And he's adding goals to his game. I know Ruben was our top goal scorer last season, but a lot of those were from penalties. But now you've obviously got Lemina either running in late or is much more of a threat aerially as well. So that's huge. But yeah, I thought last two games for me, him and Gomez, but Lemina in particular, absolutely phenomenal.
He's so strong, isn't he? He's so powerful. But
his quality on the ball as well, the way can turn players. And that's what Ruben Neves always struggled to do, really, is drive us up the pitch. And Lemina is doing that a little bit more. And I think even Pablo Sarabia is really coming into his own now. And it's mental to say it, but I think after the last two games, you know, Pedro Neto is going to have to work quite hard to start every game or get, you know, enough minutes in the tank to claim a starting place. Because now I think Sarabia, including cup games, got more assists than Neto in all competitions. And I think the last 2 weeks as well, or the last week, sorry, including the West Ham game, I think his delivery from set pieces have been much better. They're going much more deeper into the area. And obviously Wolves are taking advantage of that.
He's got a wonderful left foot. But Lemina is so strong, but uses it in the right way. Because I know sometimes strength can be perceived as a foul, especially in the middle of the park when you're going in for duels. But he's excellent. The only thing he's lacking, George, for me, is just that killer ball. And I think sometimes he does try it and it doesn't come off and it puts Wolves on the back foot sometimes. It can be quite quite susceptible to turnovers, can't we? But apart from that, he's across the whole two games and season, he's been phenomenal.
Yeah, he has. Yeah, and I think, like I say, he's not perfect because he wouldn't be at Wolves. If he was this perfect player, he'd be at a team much higher than us. And we've got him for an absolute steal, an absolute bargain. And I feel like he's probably, other teams weren't looking at him in the Premier League just because he had a bit of a bad boy reputation. And I say that very loosely when he was at Southampton and your Fulhams and stuff. But it seems to be that he's matured and grown up. And I feel like you can sense that even in sort of the stuff he does in terms of on videos behind the scenes, that the video he had with Fraser, it just seems to have grown up a little bit. And one thing I will say is if we'd have had Lamina under Nuno instead of Dendonka in some of those games, we really could have been who knows, we could have won the fucking lot. Yeah. unbelievable player, unbelievable player. And I feel like now he's even adding goals to his game as well. It's mad, isn't it? It's hard to sort of find any faults with him, really. Other than, like you're saying, Matt, I feel like vertically, both him and Gomez lack that. But I did actually notice yesterday, Gomez was doing a lot more of that. Yeah. So that's the only, sight on his game, unfortunately.
Well, we'll touch upon the Doc goal and the Chelsea goal quickly before we move on to Brentford. But Dave, I think that the Doc finish, I mean, it was reminiscent of Doc of 5 or 6 years ago. Right place, right time, jogs around the pitch, but somehow manages just to spawn in when it matters. But it's a harder finish than I think people give it credit for. Always give the keeper the eyes, and he's used the centre half as a guide to bend it round. But I don't think it's an easy finish.
No, I think you're right. I think you could have so easily just blast that, you know, when you're...
Best finisher at the club, by the way.
Yeah, from close range. And, I mentioned this on the review as well. When he was coming on, I think we won 1-0 at the time. 1-0 it was, yeah. And he was coming on and everyone around me was like, oh, my God. Obviously, Semedo stayed on, so Doc was in a more advanced position. I said, you know what, though? I think this is the perfect game for Doc because when... You know, if we do get that opportunity, especially if Chelsea are pushing, the ball is going to fall to Matt Doherty and he's going to score. And that's exactly what happened. The goal went in, everyone celebrated, and like about six people next to me all of a sudden just turned and looked at me like, who is this mystic?
Didn't happen at the Year Awards.
Yeah. I've got a lot of witnesses. But yeah, Bueno did well as well to with that. But I know obviously the cross was deflected back out. But like you said, Matt, right place, right time. And that is the Matt Doherty of old. Sometimes, especially under Nuno, he'd score a goal. And you're like, why on earth is Matt Doherty stood there? How on earth has he scored that goal? But obviously, good finish. And I know Chelsea scored what turned out to be a consolation, but helped, you know, kill the game off.
Poor goal to concede. But you're saying that, though, the bloke who sit next to me, Dave, he said to me, what has he brought him on for? And I said, like, in jest, I went, O'Neill's probably said, go and play where you want, you're good enough, go and get me a goal. And like, as soon as he scored that, as soon as he just turned to me and went, obviously I didn't mean that because he's crap. But yeah, great finish. Great finish. And I felt like, boys, it was a bit of a relief after, and don't get me wrong, results haven't been bad, but performances have been poor, but it felt like such a relief and a massive confidence builder, and Molyneux was back to its former best. And I feel like that belief was carried into the Brentford game. I mean, I've got in the show notes here, the first bullet point is Cox out, because it was just, it was unbelievable. But again, I don't think that 4-1 probably flattered Wolves. I mean, it helps that Nathan Collins chuck two in, but I think on another day we could have drawn that game. But George, I feel like we've got the rub of the green in the last couple of games, which is nice considering I feel like for most of the season we haven't.
Yeah, but I feel that you almost make your own luck a little bit as well.
You do
when you're playing, and you know we have had rotten luck. I'm not going to talk about VAR anymore, but yeah, we've had a lot of bad luck in that sort of sense. So the fact for us to get a little bit of luck with some errors, individual errors that have led to goals, we'll take them. And I feel like I was quite nervous about the game just because of, I mean, Brentford have had 10 days off, haven't they? And we'd played like 3 days before.
They have had a lot of injuries as well, haven't they?
They've got a lot of injuries. Don't get me wrong, yeah. I mean, you know, it's a difficult place to go. But then when you take out Mbeumo and Tony and Ben Mee was out and Jensen was out as well, I think. You know, there's a little few things where you go, you know what, if you're going to beat them or get a result, now's the time to play them. And you've got to still go there and execute it. And I thought, you know what, it was a real professional away performance from start to finish. I know it went batshit crazy for about 3 minutes. I think it was 3 minutes and 9 seconds when it between all three goals, it said on Prime. But yeah, look, I think we thoroughly deserved it. And, you know, once we got in the lead, especially that third Huang goal, I felt we managed the game so, so well.
Sorry, mate, my phone was going off. I don't know if you could hear it. Yeah, I thought we managed the game. Saying that, though, like, after the second winning, and I was like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, you could just see it crumbling in front of you, couldn't you? Like, the goal was definitely coming. Like, three goals in the space of 3 minutes there. But, Dave, sum up that performance. I know you enjoyed it very much. So you were the lodge, weren't you?
Yeah. Brentford are gash. That's the way to sum it up.
He told us we should have listened.
I was actually at the restaurant when the match started. So I had it on Prime on my phone. So I watched the first half there. I remember the good thing with Prime is that anyone watching it, is even if you're streaming away, you're all at the similar sort of time. So I was getting so many messages, but thankfully I was watching the game at the same time, so there was no spoilers or anything. Obviously, that first goal went in, Lamina, great. And then I think I was like texting my brother, and then I went back on the app, and Huang's 2 yards out, tapping in. I was like, what's going on here? I was expecting to look at an angle with the flag up, but yeah, Collins, he contributed more in that game than he did for his whole Wolves career.
He was awful.
I think even obviously gifted us a second goal. You could say gifted us a fourth goal. The third goal even was his failed long ball that Wolves won the ball back from.
I don't think that's his fault for the third one.
Yeah, that kills the narrative, Matt. But no, I think we took all four goals, well, the second one, but all four goals extremely well. And I said on the review, I think even the second half, you knew it was never going to be as entertaining as the first half, but it was a very professional job. And we could have scored one or two more, I think. Cunha was unlucky. I thought he led the line quite well.
Excellent, I thought.
Collins and then friend of the pod, Ethan Pinnick, were absolutely awful for me.
Dog and duck at the back for them, weren't it? And if you look at Twitter for some people as well, it was dog and duck at the back for us, but we'll come on to that. First goal though, Jord, that Sarabia left foot. Oh, mate, as soon as it left his foot, I was like that.
Yeah. you just knew, didn't you? It's just some crosses, you just know someone's just going to fucking just
lever it
steamroll and back of the like head it, smash it in. And
goal.
Unbelievable cross. And I'm glad that my Sarabia credits has now come into fruition now.
I was going to say, you need some credit somewhere, mate, because everyone else is.
Yeah, I might have lost with Nathan Collins, but I would have been with Pablo Sarabia, I think. And unbelievable cross. And again, Lamina's there again. Just again, adding goals to his game now. And what can you say? Like I say, as soon as the ball's in the box, it's like just screaming for someone just to put it in the back of the net. And trajectory, the pace, everything about it was just spot on.
Oh, it was lovely. It was absolutely gorgeous. Saying that, though, the second goal, Dave, you know, it's a tapping, but it's very intelligent from Huang to gamble on that and get there. I think it helps that the goalkeeper hesitates a little bit too, because if not, I think the goalkeeper just wipes him out. But I mean, it has been gifted, but it's still an intelligent run, Dave, especially to keep switched on after just scoring two.
Yeah, no, I agree. I felt, you know, the way he almost, if you watch the replay, but just watch Huang before Collins even passes the ball, Huang's onto it. He knows it. Obviously, the finish turns out to be, like I said, one of the easiest goals they'll ever score, but the actual build up to that goal is good from Huang. And I think I'm probably guilty of it as well. I felt like, you know, the games that he hasn't scored in over the last few weeks, I felt at times he's almost been anonymous. But I think instances like that yesterday shows that his overall game, there is more to it than just putting the ball in the back of the net. But I've just seen the Premier League have posted his stats for this season. He scored 10 goals in the league from 11 shots on target. So it just shows if he hits that ball, it more than likely he's going into the back of the net.
Yeah, it's superb, man.
40 off target, probably, anyway.
I think I said yes. He's like within the 6 yard box, like Messi. Anything outside the 6 yard box, it is Messi. but for Brentford to go down the upper end and score straight away, I was just like, oh, you know what's coming here, don't you? And I think even after they scored again, they had a really good chance at the back post. But I thought that defenders were ball watching. Other people have said it's just a well worked goal. Interesting to hear your thoughts on that, lads.
I just think
flat-footed for me.
Yeah, a little bit, and I think we probably did switch off a little bit. I think to say it's bad defending's really harsh, and I think then again we're going to get on Santi Breno in a bit, but there's like a narrative because the ball went over Santi Breno. It's his fault, and it's like, well, what's he meant to do? It's not his fault, really. That's happened, and it's just sloppy, isn't it? It's just a sloppy goal. But again, I don't really think there's any fault of anyone as such. It's just collectively as a team that should have defended it better, and someone could have quite easily just smashed someone when it was pinging around in the 20, 25 yards out. Just break it up, just do something. And we were just a bit naive, I think is probably the right word. And Vissa took his goal well, didn't he? So
I thought Vissa caused Totti a lot of problems in that first half.
First half, he did.
Sure. And that back stick as well was exposed. You could do it, Totti coming across a bit more. People were telling me, oh no, that's Aitken Nouri's job, but out of possession, where Aitken Nouri plays on the left wing, so I don't really see why it'd be Aitken Nouri's job. But as soon as obviously it went 2-1, it was 3, and I don't think you can blame Nathan Collins for that. Because the balls ended up over the halfway line, but what, 35, 40 yard assist for Totti, mate? It's a shame it's with his head, but it's such a wonderfully taken goal, Dave. Just calmness personified. If you could say, show me a player who's full of confidence, it would be that finish.
Yeah, and I think we discussed it a little bit in the group chat when I think Semedo went on a good run, maybe 5 or 10 minutes before, and laid it off to Hwang, and then he tried to get it on his right foot. And
then he did, obviously, the ball was shit. I said he should have hit it with his left.
Yeah,
I think the ball could have been better. I think, like, yeah, he should have hit it first time. But if you're running onto a ball, you do want it in front of you at a bit more pace. I think it was just a bit slow.
Yeah,
I don't think it was the best of balls.
But then obviously Hwang made up for that anyway. And I think I feel the line from Brentford was poor because I think was it Pinnick who sort of kept him onside. But like you say, Hwang still got a hell of a lot to do. And the composure that he showed there. And I think we've seen it a couple of times. I think the goal against Newcastle at home was a similar sort of finish where he fainted and then, he put the ball into the back of the net. And again, yesterday, a really, really nice finish. And I don't think the injury is too serious to him. Obviously, he came off just before half-time. So hopefully he's still fit for the Everton game. But like I said earlier, the fact that Cunha, in my opinion, I know maybe his goal contributions have slowed down a little bit over the last week or so, or last couple of weeks. Sarabia now getting towards the top of his game and Hwang still scoring. I don't think it's as straightforward as it is for Neto just to walk straight back in this team.
And I was saying, go on, Gaz, just give him like 15 minutes. But you're right, he needs to rest him, get him right for Everton. I think he'll get game time against Everton, though, because I think he'll have to.
Big good atmosphere at home as well. I think Neto really thrives on that home atmosphere. So give him 20 minutes, even half an hour. He's another few days rest, which is good. He didn't need to bring him on. He didn't need to risk him yesterday, especially after the fourth. So
He was stripped off, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was going to come on right before the fourth goal.
The fourth goal. And it's just like, hamstrings are so tricky. If there's no need to bring him on and give him a few more days, it was the right thing to do, I think.
You wouldn't have been able to after that anyway, would he? Because you're only allowed, four?
Three stoppages. Windows, isn't it? Yeah, three stoppages for five.
So, was it Bueno on and not him? You wouldn't have been able to anyway. But talking of Buenos, talk about his namesake, Santi Bueno. What were your thoughts on his performance, lads, in for Dawson? Personally, I thought first half he looked a little bit shaky, but grew into the game, and I thought he was pretty good in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably what I saw on social media. I think if you're being hypercritical, I think that you could maybe say he was slightly slow off the mark for the Brentford goal. But I think Vissa was just reactions and his pace to get to the ball were very, very good. Like I said, I mean, if you said that was the Wolves' back five and had started from the first game of the season, I wouldn't have argued with you. I thought he looked pretty solid. And I don't think he was awful against Fulham. I know obviously VAR went against us in that game, but he played in that game as well. I think he looked all right. I don't know the situation with Dawson. I think it sounded like a really deep cut on the knee. If that's still sore, which it may well be, because it would still be less than a week, I don't see why Bueno may not start again against Everton on Saturday. I think Gary O'Neill will give us more info on that on Friday. But I'm uncomfortable with him. I think he did okay. Nothing. No major errors, but nothing spectacular. I think he just did the job that he needed to do as a defender.
I'd prefer Dawson against Everton because you know exactly what you're going to get. And although Bueno's a big boy, he's not. I don't feel he's as commanding as Dawson. But hopefully that gash isn't as bad as it looked, because he was. And I've seen plenty of bad ones in my time, and it looks. I thought Bellegarde did all right when he come on though as well. I thought like it probably one of his better games he's had, because the last few weeks he's been shite. But also João Gomes, for me, probably man of the match. I don't know how you guys felt. He covered ground excellently, but was playing further up the field, was playing in behind. He was everywhere.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. He followed on from that second half against Chelsea. I think I saw the stat. I think 10 tackles, wasn't it? Or 10
most
tackles,
out of any player.
Most in any player. He was everywhere. Him and Lamina, like when they're both on it like that, it's a tough afternoon for anyone. I'm not being funny. Mm. And we've said before about the limitations of them two playing together, previously about playing forward and breaking lines and all that sort of stuff. But they did it yesterday, unbelievably well. And yeah, I think Gomez is growing and growing as a footballer. I think he's settling in a little bit more now. He did have a bit of a shaky start to the season. He was in and out of the team a little bit under O'Neill, but yeah, he's a class act. And we're going to need him and Lamina until the end of the season. I know people are looking at Europe and all that sort of stuff, like, as we mentioned earlier. But for me, it's just all about, you know, I'd have took 17th before a ball was kicked this season. If we can finish anywhere around where we are now, 10th, 11th, 12th, I think it's an unbelievable job. And we're going to need those two to be on it for the majority of that.
I think people looking at you are probably on lastminute.com, mate. Because I don't think there's any way this team gets into Europe personally, but we can dream. In Gary O'Neill's post-match press conference on Prime, not press conference, obviously his post-match interview, again, come across well, which I think he does anyway. They pressed him around questions around strikers. Now, he said that Sasha and Hwang, and not even Hwang so much, is our only number nine. Not something new that he said, because I think he's mentioned before that Silva likes players, a second striker, and isn't your archetypal number nine. But no mention of Fabio at all last night, which I thought was a little bit telling. And obviously the news has come today that he's joining Rangers on loan to the end of the season. Just quickly, lad, your thoughts on that. I think it's a great move for him. Ideally, you'd want a permanent move, but it's a loan with no obligation. I think he'll tear it up for Rangers. I really do. They create a load of chances. And he should be able to get a few goals to his name, and hopefully Wolves can recoup some value. I don't think Rangers will buy him because they ain't got the money.
No. I think it's the right move for him. I think he needed to get out on loan. His stock is, again, low. The only reason, obviously, he stayed at Wolves is because Lopetegui convinced him. At the time, we didn't know what money was going to be available at the end of the summer window. And it's obviously not worked. Gary O'Neill's not a fan of him, and sometimes that happens. So he needs to get out on loan. I think Scotland and Rangers, you know, a team top end of the league, he's going to get loads of chances, like you say. I think his movement is extremely clever, so he could have a really good time out there and score goals. To keep his stock as high as he can to go into the summer, I don't think he'll be in a Wolves shirt again next season, regardless of how well he does in Scotland. But this is crucial because if he can go out there and score, maybe, you know, get double figures before the end of the season, you know, Wolves can command closer to sort of 20, 25 million, I think. And we can't forget, you know, he's still, what, 21, I think. So still so, so young, and a huge career still ahead of him if he, you know, puts his mind to it.
I don't think it's even if he puts his mind to it. I think he applies himself well, but just in terms of, he's not lazy or anything, but it just hasn't worked out.
It's the fit, isn't it? Yeah, like we mentioned so many times before, for whatever reason, sometimes players come to England or sometimes players go to certain clubs and it doesn't work. And unfortunately, Fabio to Wolves, I don't know if it's because of the timing with COVID and so on, but it just hasn't worked out. But I've said plenty of times before on record that I think he will have a successful career in football. Yeah.
What deemed successful, because you know you've been banging the Fabio drum now, and I think you're not going to let go, are you?
Being a professional footballer till you're 35, successful, isn't it? So no, I don't think he's going to go and win Ballon d'Ors and Champions Leagues, but I think he'll be a successful top level striker across Europe at some point.
Who will have more seasons in top flight football, Fabio Silva or Patrick Cutrone?
Fabio, mate. Cutrone's done, mate. Cutrone's what? To be fair, I say that he's done. He's banging goals for, is it Como or Como? However you say it. They're second division in Italy, I think. But no, Fabio for sure.
Jordan, any other thoughts or anything you want to add?
Nice lad. Not going to work out for him. No. I just think, you know, it's just not going to work out for him, is it? And we've said it many times on air. Right player, maybe wrong club. You know, he might go away and get goals elsewhere. And I'm the same as Dave. I think he will get goals in other leagues. He may even play for a Premier League side and get goals. It's just not going to be for Wolves. And I do think it's a decent fit, Rangers. I think Clement's gone there and he's doing a very, very good job. I know it's a two-team league, but they've been so far the last few years behind Celtic again, Rangers, that he's actually got them on the coattails, I think. And Fabio will get goals up there, and I think Fabrizio Romano said that they're covering all his wages as well, which we know is quite a hefty amount of money. And
they're still in Europe as well.
They're in the Europa League.
They're in that title race as well. I've just checked. They're 5 points behind Celtic with two games in hand. So.
Two games in hand. They're playing them on the weekend. Yeah. And they just won the cup as well. Well, I think they won the League Cup recently as well, Rangers. So they're flying, I think. But Dave, are you going to get a Fabio 99 Rangers shirt, or is that?
Mate, if he gets something like that, that would look sick to me.
I know. I was about to ask the next question. Obviously, we went to see playing in Belgium. Does anyone fancy a trip? I mean, I've just come back from Glasgow, Edinburgh. I know it's nicer than Glasgow. Does anyone fancy a trip to Glasgow to see Fabio Silva play for the Teddy Bears?
Yeah, well, mate, you know my thoughts on Glasgow. So after the
He does like Scotland.
I've never been to Scotland. I've
never been Glasgow, but I'll
Castor Derby.
Yeah, Castor Derby. But maybe they'll go and get Strenhaus Muir away or something in the cup, and we can go and 7-hour train up there.
Oh, mate, it'd be buzzing. I've got a few mates who are Rangers fans as well, so. They're all texting me today saying, what's he like? See, shit.
I've got a few podcasts that want to do like a small... I've got one after this podcast about Fabio. I'm not going to understand a word they say.
Who did that? I think I did something with Jers TV.
We've got Scottish listeners. When did we sound Welsh?
No, but it's Glaswegian accent's very strong, and like this Jersey TV, nice enough blokes, but it's like a phone in, they do job, but like the phone and he's like one of these. So like, obviously the line's pretty shit anyway, but then yeah, can you hear what they're saying?
The Wolf Whistle podcast.
Games coming thick and fast, lads. What, 3 games in 6 days? I mean, who cares when you're winning? But tough test against Everton on Saturday. Everton haven't won in the last 2, but seem to have really taken a bit of an upturn in performance under Dyche. And since that points deduction, Dave, it's certainly not going to be an easier game, but I do fancy us.
Yeah, I mean, at home, I fancy us against anyone at the moment, the way we're playing. But Everton, you know, are a tough game. I know they lost to City last night, but still gave them a pretty good match, to be honest. You've got to be at your very best for 90 minutes, and they made one or two mistakes and City punished them. So, you know, you look without their point deduction in the position they would be in the league, and I think they would still be ahead of us just about, I think. So that's how
they're ahead of us, yeah.
You know, they've had a good season, but you know, I have faith in Wolves. You know, they've got more than enough quality with Neto coming back as well, and the way that we've played over the last week or so, we've got quality. But if we can, I think on the last podcast we were saying that we've got to try and get some points before Christmas and the new year, otherwise we might be looking over our shoulder. If we can get a win here, I'm not going to mention Europe, but I think we'll be in a fantastic position and going into This is the halfway point anyway now. We've had 19 games, 25 points. If we replicate that form, I think, you know, last season 50 points would have got you 11th place finish. But we've been hard done by VAR and stuff as well. So, you know, I think continue with that will be absolutely sound. But a win at the weekend will really, you know, put us in a fantastic position and take so much pressure off.
Everyone around us seems to be like picking up points, I don't know. Like, and again, someone will probably say, well, then I don't know, and point it out. But it just feels like teams, especially like the likes of Luton, are picking up like wins here and there. So I'm still of the opinion that we're in a bit of a, we're still in and amongst it. And I don't feel safe yet. I mean, what are we, 10 points above relegation zone? It's not a lot. I don't know how you feel, Jord.
I mean, I'm not having sleepless nights about it. But no. You are right. I think where we are and as a club and we've seen it, like some of the performances haven't been that good. Like, yes, we potentially, you know, won back-to-back wins and everything feels really good at the moment. We could make that 3 out of 3 against Everton on the weekend, but I don't feel like we're a million miles away from losing 3 or 4 on the bounce as well. And then it's about keeping your nerve in those moments, isn't it, when you go on a bit of a bad run. I think, you know, we will, I think we'll come, you know, I don't think we'll go down by any stretch. So I don't think we'll be scrapping the stay up or whatnot. But you are right. I feel like ultimately we come into this season, you know, everyone was writing us off. We all thought on this podcast, you know, come 17th, 16th, 15th, I think was a prediction, something like that. You know, I'd still take that now. Honestly, I really would. I feel like we're bang up against it. We know there's some players in this squad that we want to get out. Fabio being one, and you know, I think Sass has also been touted to go. And it's not Gary O'Neill's squad still yet, really. So yeah, I do get what you're saying, Matt. I think, you know, if we win against Everton, it puts a lot of a bigger gap between us and Everton, Forests, that you know, Luton's, that sort of those sort of sides. Though that's the other thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just looking now, like Luton on 15 points. I think Sheffield United are as good as done. Of course, we lost to them.
They'll beat us at Molineux as well, though, so don't worry about that.
Yeah.
I think with Luton, though, as well, it's like, obviously, you know, the Tom Lockie stuff that happened a few weeks ago, you know,
it sounds like
he's on the mend, or at least at home and stable now, but back-to-back wins for them, that I mean, they don't need any, you know, playing at home and going to Kenilworth Road always going to be difficult anyway, but now they've got the Lockie stuff as well. It's
boy, you know.
Yeah. I know, honestly, sorry, I do apologise for my voice. I'm going like, I've been really struggling. Kenilworth Road. But yeah, no, I just think like with Luton, it's galvanised them a little bit, and I wouldn't be surprised if they stayed up, you know.
Really, I think they will, but they look like they're learning quite quickly as well.
I agree.
Yeah. I fear for Brentford. I do, and Palace. Obviously, we got Roy Hodgson on the podcast now. Any?
You taking the piss?
Yeah, let's not take the piss here. But I think you are. I worry for them too, but I'm not talking about Europe, mate. Not a chance. So 5 points off 7th. Rotation for Everton, or try and keep the same team? I think he's gonna have to rotate, surely.
Nah, same team as much as you can. He's not got a midweek fixture next week, has he? Got another week to recover.
We've got like 2 weeks, haven't we?
No, we've got Brentford in the FA Cup, and then we don't have an We don't have a game at Molineux in January at all, unless we get through to the fourth round of the FA Cup. I think you try and push them as far as you can. Obviously, difficult with injuries, and obviously they'll know better than we do. But I think you try and get as much as that 11 back out there. Who can you rotate though, Matt? Like, who would you rotate?
You bring Neto in. You could bring Tommy Doyle in.
Not to
you
start. Could bring, Doyle possibly. Yeah,
you could bring Doc in. You could bring. That's probably about it, isn't it? Really, could bring Hugo Bueno in.
Nah.
You could bring Sasha in.
No.
No. We all know that's not going to happen. No.
Fabio Lazzarori against Everton, there.
Yeah, good boy. Goodbye, my lover.
There's a Catrone, scores a winner, start crying.
Yeah. Bless you. You all want a cup run, though, don't you? You want a cup run?
Absolutely.
So, Jordy, if I said to you, right, two Brentford fixtures, you can only win one of them, which one is it?
I knew that's it.
I'd have rather won the cup.
I would have said
league, you know. I would have said league.
He's only said that because he's done his bollocksing on the cup run.
No, genuinely, I just feel I don't think we'll go down, and it's a bit of excitement, isn't it?
Yeah, but we'll draw City in round four.
Yeah,
probably.
I was about to say.
Yeah, but we might draw fucking, I don't know who's still in there, Harrogate Town or someone. You never know.
Beat us.
Yeah, well, maybe they will, but you've got to be in it to win it, haven't you? So it's one of them, isn't it? So
I saw that question, and then I think for me, the league is bread and butter, and I'd rather
win
that. I think it's easier to say now we've actually won that, but and I suppose on the flip side, you say there's 20 other, 19 other Premier League games to go. But for me, I'd just pressure off. I think it continues decent momentum in the league.
Same.
I mean, we'll do them again. We'll do them again at Griffin Park, wherever, whatever it's called, the Legoland Stadium.
Legoland, yeah.
Yeah,
Legoland,
yeah.
So. That stadium's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
We went there before, didn't we, Dave? Not last season before?
Yeah, first season I came up, yeah.
Yeah, in the ballot. What a weird ground. Weird ground. Moving on to the questions before we go to career path. For Mars Music Show has asked, out of our entire squad, which player do you think will go on to achieve the most in football in terms of general success? Trophies, caps, respect from other pros?
You know, we have got some players at the moment that could genuinely move to a top team, like they could. I know obviously Nunes has done it. He went about it the completely wrong way. I'd like to say Neto could, but I think he really needs to. It's not his fault, but he really needs to improve his injury record.
He's more rated, there's highly rated from other fans and Wolves fans, I always say.
Yeah, I think Gomez could. João Gomez. For me, possibly even Cunha, you know.
Day 24.
Yeah, I think Cunha. And I always use, you always look at Man City for that type of player, I think. But I think both of those could then genuinely be an asset to a club like that.
Well, I think Ryan, personally, if he sorts out his final ball, if he sorts out his decision making with his final action, we're winning a lot.
Serious player, yeah.
He's very good.
So I'd say Ryan. What about you, Jord?
I think I'm thinking. Obviously, age plays a factor into this, doesn't it? I think João Gomez has got the highest ceiling.
Yeah,
close to Liverpool, do he?
João Gomez. Yeah,
I don't think you can look past Tom King though, either, can you?
Yeah, I mean, every time we've seen him play, he's not conceded a goal all season.
No. Yeah.
He went to the World Cup, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he actually did.
He did. He was the third keeper, yeah.
Well, did he have tickets or?
He sat next to Tony Roberts.
Yeah.
Oh, what a freaking goalkeeper coach, by the way. Daniel Plant has asked, what would you do in January with the youth players in and around the first team? Fraser, Hodge, I can never pronounce his name.
I don't actually know how you...
Chiraya?
Well, I've heard it before pronounced completely different, so I don't know, to wonder. Mm. I think Hodge definitely go out on loan.
He had a little bit of a whinge, hasn't he, about his playing time before he got injured?
Yeah, I don't know about the others. I think the others will probably stay put till the end of the season. Fraser probably does need a loan, though, to be honest. I think League 2 teams, League 1 teams will be all over that.
Andy Hipkins has asked top three players of the season at the halfway point. Mine in no particular order is Lamina, Neto, Huang, with Semedo not far behind. What's your top three, Dave? Starting with number three.
Three Huang, two Neto, one Lamina.
Jord?
I would go Huang 3, Aitnery 2nd.
Whoa.
Molina 1st. Cool. I think Neto's been, obviously, it's hard because Neto's been injured.
Yeah.
I'm taking that in. I mean, he fucking got 7 assists in about 4 games or whatever it was.
Ryan was injured though.
Yeah, but I just think he's played more, hasn't he? I think
his influence on this team is severely underrated.
And my second point I was about to say then was literally, I think obviously Neto is a big miss, but the drop off in quality from Aitnery to Bueno in games this season, from Neto to Sarabia, for example. Yes, you know, is when Bueno was playing left wing back, it seemed to completely collapse what we were trying to do.
I think, yeah. Part of that could be down to Bueno's lack of match sharpness and fitness.
I agree with that as well.
I think as soon as he came back for Chelsea last week, like, flip it. We've actually got an outlet now. Like, it's, you know, a way to drive forward. We really struggled to do that without Aitnery. I think he's a shout, to be fair.
Would you not have Kilman in there?
Nah.
Fair enough. Van Asken,
I felt he's done the job, and I think he looks a lot better in a three. I felt he got dragged out a little bit too easily the last two games. Chelsea, especially, he kept like being drawn to the ball and leaving big gaps at the back. But he's done his job, but he's not been outstanding.
El Capitano, nothing but Neto has asked. Newest Atlantic article. I think he means The Athletic. so it's like, well, we will try and bring in people during the upcoming window. If they can't get the top targets, then they'll wait till the summer. Do you agree with his strategy? He says personally, or she, or they, personally think this is dangerous and short-sighted. You what?
It's a man, actually, Derek.
A man, actually, Derek. Joined by a beautiful young lady. I don't think it's short-sighted. I think if they're going to have you over a barrel, then yeah, you leave it until... Obviously, of course, I'd like us to go and boss the bank and sign 10 players, but I think from a sensible point of view, if you can't get your top target or they want in excess of what you'd paid, then I think you leave it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, especially if there's... I think there will be options to sign players on loan. I think they'll probably want a winger and a striker. But you're right, if you've got top targets and you know they possibly still will be available in the summer, then you'll just wait for them. Might just have to fill a stopgap for 6 months and review the situation again. Then it's such a difficult window to buy in, the January window. And I think there will be players out there available for loan. Ahmed Diallo was one that was linked. I think he's not even got a kick at United. I don't know if he's had a little injury or... so I think there'll be options out there. And Chelsea as well have got players. Madueke was one that was linked. He scored yesterday, so he might not be available now. Armando Broja. So we'll see.
I like Broja. I think he'd be very good for what we need as well.
I agree.
Proper out and out number 9, quick as well. What do you reckon, George? I think you probably agree with
it. Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think it's one of those things where if we were 16th, 17th, we'd probably go into the market and put our money in a back pocket and try and do it. But I feel like we're in a very comfortable position at the moment. Maybe dangerously, as you said, Matt, in a dangerous position. But I just feel the ambition this year, this season, was just to stay in the league. And I think it was almost as much as said by Hobbs, wasn't it, and O'Neill pretty much recently as well, that it was just stay in the league. And if we can do that, not have to dip into the market and then improve our FFP position to go again in the summer, then we spend some coin, baby.
Yeah. FFP, you say? I don't think you should rest on your laurels, though. Like, yes, that was the objective, but it feels like it's quite a good opportunity this year to push a little bit. Like you said, Dave, a lot of teams are strengthened, but I feel like the league itself is a lot kind of... There's not normally you have the top 7 and you have a gap of like 10 points, don't you, between the rest of the league. And I don't think it's there that season. So I think it'd be a good opportunity to, if they can eke a little bit out, then do it. But obviously don't compromise our financial position. Final question. And I've included this, and it's from Thomas Watkins. And I think it, like, I've summed up what we were talking about at the start of the podcast in terms of like fans like seesawing. I'm not saying Thomas is doing that by any stretch, but do you guys also hope that Gary O'Neill at least stays manager for another 3 or more years? I think he's an incredible manager for the team, personally.
Be chanting him out next week, Tom.
Yeah. Where are you on the gonometer, Tom?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got away, hasn't it? We've not seen it for a while, haven't we?
Was it the gonometer or the gonometer, whatever it was?
Shit, anyway.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Matt? Sorry, you had something.
I just think it's like, I think he's done a fantastic job. I think there's still a lot of question marks around some of the things and around stubbornness. But I think on the whole, you can't really argue that he's doing a bad job. I think he's doing a good job with the resources that he's got. But I think he's a bit of a media darling with UK broadcasters and publicists. I really do, because I think they thought he was hard done by Bournemouth, which I agree. But I think from the outside, people look at Wolves and think, bloody hell, they've sold £150 million worth of players. The squad's shit. They've got no good players. But that's not true. Like the squad is actually quite good. But nonetheless, I think with the circumstances he's come in, he's doing a fantastic job. But I can't say whether I want him here for another three or more years, because I don't even know what the next month looks like. So yeah. I think you can never say that.
It's hard with managers. I think you can say, yes, you're happy with a manager and you would like him to stay, but you'd only want him to stay if we can sustain this current level of, you know, of decent results. You know, in football, he might lose the next 7 or 8 games and you'll want him out. So I think it's very hard to say in that, but I think if it does carry on and you know, we have got every right to have a successful end to the season and finish in the top half. I'm not going to say Europe again, but top half. Who's to say, and I know we mentioned this maybe a month or so ago, who's to say the FA don't come knocking after the Euros? Because he's young.
That's the thing, isn't it?
If you don't know. And I don't think as good as... If we finish, say, eighth or ninth, yeah, we, you know, I think that would be an unbelievable season considering the state the club was in, both playing squad and behind the scenes at the start of the year. But you cannot stand in the way of anyone when I know the England, it almost feels like a poison chalice, but it's like the pinnacle, really, of management, isn't it?
I think English managers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So.
But I don't... that's the thing, if you are... It's great for Wolves if he overexceeds expectations and goes far and beyond, but then he's going to get picked off anyway because yeah. There's someone will have him. Like De Zerbi, like he's probably a dead cert to have the Man City job because of what I know. Not done as well.
Real Madrid looking at him as well for next season, although he's
off
a little bit. Maybe. I deserve
it. He's taking Totti with him, apparently.
Yeah.
Worried.
How do you feel about it, George? Do you want him here for the next 3 or more years? You're only calling for his head last week.
I mean, I've been behind him since he got here, to be honest with you. I think football's too fluid, isn't it, with to have that sort of opinion that you say I want him 100% to stay for the next three years. And be like that. It's like, I think you look at Bournemouth, Iraola got, I think he didn't win a game in 9, and then they've won 7 out of the last 9. He went from being hounded out, his shit, is this, whatever, to now in the media, he's like 1-7 in 9, and everyone's like, oh, he's fucking the Messiah, and again, talking about him in the same light of deserving.
You have to give people time, don't you?
Of course you do, yeah, exactly that, and I feel like football's fluid, but people like to make opinions and don't like to backtrack because people are scared there's receipts online or in the pub when they send it to their mates, and I think that's exactly... And again, I know we're going off on a massive tangent here, but I know when we talk about Santi Breno earlier and everyone was saying he was shit again last night, I think people were saying that because he had a poor game against Ipswich and they've already written him off and they couldn't just accept, oh, you know what, he played quite well last night. It's the same thing. Like, I just feel, if he carries on doing what he's doing for Wolves and we're going quietly about our business, with the ambition of where we think Fosen are going to be quite comfortable with just staying in the Premier League, in and around here, safe, sustainable, sell to buy, that sort of stuff. Gary O'Neill will tick every box for that. So he might be here for that period of time.
I think the pressure's been off him a little bit, though, because he's coming into a squad that isn't his. But my only worry is that they give him a bit of money to spend in Jan, then give him a bit more in the summer. And if, like, things don't improve or they go on the downturn a little bit, then he'll be gone. because that's what happened with Large, wasn't it, really? They gave him that war chest in the summer. We brought in Nunes, he brought in a few other players, and it was absolutely awful.
But they shouldn't have done that with Large, though, should they? He'd sort of... I thought...
He had one good month in the job.
Yeah, he lost the plot. And like, as soon as we lost to Arsenal at the Emirates, we were shite for the rest of it, and then... We literally tailed off, and then
looking after down that season, another five or six games, and
we've got
that's Large as a manager. That is because the same happened at Botafogo as well. I think with Large, he's still a very, very young manager or head coach, and he could have a successful career. But it's happened at Benfica, it happened at Wolves, and it happened at Botafogo. When he loses momentum or loses the dressing room, he cannot get it back, and it's happened at his last three clubs. So I think Wolves were brave, but did the right thing ultimately when, you know, in hindsight, you could have argued after that such a bad run at the end of that season, you could have let him go, but that was never going to happen.
I think you've got to only look at Gary O'Neill's transfer window, and there's only one, one really you can look at when he was at Bournemouth, and he brought in some good players, didn't he, in that January to help them keep them up. And I can't ever say his name, Zabarnier or whatever he's called.
Zabarnier, centre-half. Yeah,
very good centre-half.
Did he buy that winger as well?
I brought that. Was it Traore?
Atara
is the one. I thought he was quite good as well.
Yeah, I feel like at the end of the day, if we finish middle of the pile this year, he deserves to get backed in the summer.
Yeah, 100%. Agreed. You ready for career path, lads?
Yeah, man.
Are you ready? So remember, if it's a whitewash TikTok dance for the whitewashy, we get to pick. In fact, I think fans should pick if it is a whitewash. I think you should put a poll out on YouTube, Dave. And
put a grey man.
Yeah. We can pick which dance I'd like to see Dave do. So moving on to your first
whole thing.
Moving on to your first player. Player one started his career at Portsmouth in 1990. Scoring 7 in 62 before moving to Tottenham Hotspur in 1992. He scored 34 goals in 299 appearances before moving to Birmingham City.
Darren Anderton.
Oh, it's 1-0. It's 1-0. It's 1-0.
Bellissimo.
Darren Anderton.
Tempted after the Spurs shout, but I thought, come on.
Decent. Player two started his career at Crystal Palace in 1992, scoring 11 goals in 101 appearances. During his time at Palace, he had two loan spells, 95 at Bournemouth, where he scored 2 in 13, and in 97 in Gillingham, where he scored 0 in 4. In 1997, he signed for Swindon Town, scoring 21 in 80 before moving to Wolverhampton Wanderers in 99.
Miksu Patalainen.
It's not Miksu Patalainen. Oh. 1999 to 2006 at Wolverhampton Wanderers, where he scored 15 goals in 87 games before retiring.
Swindon to Wolves. Rings a bell. Proper weird shout. I'm going to say someone like Jamie Clapham.
It's not Jamie Clapham.
Can you read the clubs out again? Sorry, Matt.
It's both unlocked. You're not getting the clubs again, but you're going to get his position next. And then I'll do the clubs again because it's literally
when did he play for Wolves? 99 to 2006, did you say?
Correct.
Yeah, that's a long time, that is.
You're both unlocked now. His position was striker.
Awful record, mine, that is.
Yeah, can you not read the clubs again? Sorry, Matt. I know it's not good for
Crystal Palace, 1992 to 1997.
Oh, Georgian Dar.
Georgian Dar.
Oh, I thought we had him last week or something. That's why I didn't. Unless I'm imagining it. His goal came up on Twitter a couple of times. Oh, sad.
Bollocks.
I know there's going to be repetition.
Come on, Geordie boy.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Player three started his career at Tottenham Hotspur in 2005. Scoring 2 goals in 34 appearances during his time at Tottenham Hotspur. He had loan spells at Chesterfield in 2006, scoring 5 in 19. Millwall in 2007, scoring 2 in 14. And then at Portsmouth between...
Jamie O'Hara.
You know what?
I can't wait to see this dance.
I've not been feeling very well. I don't care. Yeah.
Player four started his career at Metz in 2005, scoring one goal in 79 appearances before moving to Newcastle United in 2008, scoring zero goals in 30 appearances. He then moved to Tottenham Hotspur in 2009, where he joined Wolverhampton Wanderers in 2012, scoring zero goals in 9 appearances.
Sebastian Bassong.
It's Sebastian Bassong. Oh my God, it's going to happen.
Oh, George.
The pressure is on. Do you both want to take a break? Are you all right?
I'm not feeling good about myself, to be fair.
Your fifth and final player started his career in 1997 at Uda Riga. He scored 9 goals in 77 appearances before moving to Oster in 2002, scoring one goal in 32 before moving to Asrisica Foreningen, scoring 0 goals in 23 appearances in 2005. He then moved to Ventspils in 2005, scoring 5 goals in 28 appearances. He then made the well-trodden path to Blackpool in 2006, scoring 6 goals in 50 appearances. He then moved to Queen's Park Rangers in 2008, scoring 6 goals in 114 appearances before moving to Reading.
Casper Gorks.
Oh, my God. He's done it. Get in. It's a whitewash. It's the first whitewash of the season. And look at him. He doesn't know what to do with himself.
Honestly, my brain is just not computing.
Oh, my God. We're putting this podcast out, and then in the morning on Twitter, we're going to put out TikTok trend Jules got to dance trend, to. Yeah.
Can't believe it, George. You're going to have to do it as well, mate. This is
the rule, mate.
These are the rules, mate. Do you want to play career path? You've got to do it.
You've got to own it, mate.
You have, mate.
Yeah. I swear, in the group chat, he piped up to me. They beat me 3-2 the last 2 weeks as well.
And he always says, "Dave will never do it."
Oh, I would do it.
I've never said Dave wouldn't do it.
I'd say you've
not batted it back. I'll write that from you, Jordan.
No, you've got to accept it, haven't you?
We love that.
To be fair, you could do a video and send it to Jonah so he can at least make it look like a good edit.
How about I do a Bevo with some food and just swallow loads of food?
I prefer a dance person.
Yeah, I think I put a Bevo and a dance.
Yeah, we know what's doing a dance.
We need to find some trends. If anyone is listening to the podcast, and probably not after an hour and 6 minutes in, any TikTok trends that you've identified over the last month or so that are popping, let us know in the comments down below, because we'd obviously love George to get involved, and I'm sure you would too. But that's all we've got time for this week. A very positive podcast. I've enjoyed it. Agreed. Hopefully more of the same the next time. Dave, any or Jordan, any other business? Jordan's going to have a long lie down and think about what's just happened. and look at his face. He's not happy.
I just want to go to bed.
I'll start with you first. And Jordan, where can people find you should they wish to follow you?
Jordan7, Twitter, Instagram, not on TikTok, surprisingly.
At Talking Wolves TikTok.
We'll get that in the description down below. Dave, where can people find you? Our whitewash champion, eh?
Dave has a party on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok.
You can follow Talking Wolves across all social media platforms, including TikTok at Talking Wolves. If you want to get on some suggestions, put them in the comments down below. We will be running a poll on Twitter for the winning dance. We'll only have it on for a day or so. Obviously, not ones because on TikTok you do, and it might just be my For You page, but you do get quite a lot of suggestive trends and dances.
I want to see George twerking, mate.
Oh yeah,
that sounded a bit too convincing to me.
I forgot I was live then. something not too promiscuous, but I think I've maybe a that could do it. Yeah, and that's quite an old trend, but. Trying to think what else is going on at the minute, but we'll see. Until next time, look after yourselves. Have a happy new year. Thank you for all your support this year. And we'll be back in the new year after the Everton game. But yeah, enjoy your new years, guys, and take care.